questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. Having a vision of change is how leadership begins to emerge. It represents the difference between what is now and what could be. It takes effective leadership to bridge that gap, and that can be quite daunting. Could seeing into the future help? Jonathan, the next question in the Illuminate selection of questions is over to you.
Card number 12. What would it look like if this change were ignited? What would it look like if this change were ignited? To ignite change, a spark first ignites within us that inspires us to move in a different direction. That spark then ignites those we impact. How would the scene on the stage change if the sparks ignited into one flame? Did you write this? It's great.
Boy, coming from a writer, that's... Mm-hmm.
What would it look like? What would it look like if this change were ignited? The vision that I've articulated there, I can see many aspects of it because I see it in people today. Let me just dwell on that for a second, because it's something you and I have talked about off record, in some of our pauses, where there are people in society who are swimming against the tide in some way, because their own, if we go back to what I was saying in the vision about their inner life, is not in tune with the values of the society. So if we imagine a society which is heavily focused on individual freedom, that encourages competition between individuals, and believes that something good comes out of that, where that society puts economic life at the centre of everything, as if the centre of the solar system, you replace the sun with the economy and work, that's going to produce profound changes, I think, in a culture. And when I talked about two countries in particular earlier, United States, the United Kingdom, that's for me one aspect of what's gone wrong over the last 30, 40 years. This is very simplistic, what I'm saying now. I'm simplifying. Why am I saying this? Because there are people who are not in tune with the prevailing culture and values of a society because they reject them. And they live in their economic lives. They live in a spirit of kindness, generosity. They don't want to compete with their neighbours. They might happily compete playing cards, playing football. They might happily compete in all sorts of areas. They might want to produce better products than their neighbour, a better piece of clothing, a better cake, a better piece of software, but they wouldn't see that as competing against each other somehow.
And not at the expense of the others.
That's right, yeah. So there is a fundamental difference here. So why am I saying this? Because if I come back to the question, what would it look like if this change were ignited? One of the reasons why I believe in this vision, and I think it's also where the place that it's coming from, is I see this in all parts of all of our societies. People who are swimming against the tide, who are swimming against the, who are going against the grain of our society and its prevailing values and culture, and who want something different. You know, I sense a huge appetite for something different, something better. Huge appetite for the new ground that you have talked about, Marian.
Which they may not see yet, but right, they have an appetite
right
for it.
Yes, absolutely. An appetite for something better. So what would it look like? I have this image of people stepping outside of their offices and shops and factories and wherever they're working, and just feeling something different in the air, something that feels a bit better. Mood, I mean, particularly if we are talking about politics, hope comes first, doesn't it? If we just go for a second back into the language of politics, just for the sake of this discussion, the hope comes first. After those glorious elections that we've all experienced elections, I think, in our countries where, for us, not for the whole population, it can't be that way, but for us, it felt like a moment of hope, regeneration, rebirth. That hope is enough for a while. You know that the test will come with policies and delivery. Sure, that's going to come. You're not in denial of that. But that first moment of hope is so important. So, what would it look like if this change were ignited? Part of me thinks it's just a sense of hope, that we regain hope. That there isn't a lot of hope around at the moment, I don't think. So that has to be part of it. And I'm just coming back to the question here. How would the scene on the stage change? How would the scene on the change stage... Sorry, how would the scene on the stage change? How would the scene on the stage change if the sparks ignited into one flame?
And there the emphasis is on the word one flame.
Yeah.
Let me add to that.
Please come in.
Come on in, Catherine.
What would it look like? What would it feel like if people could leave their homes to walk down the street, to buy some milk, to check the post, to sit on a bench in a park in a state of freedom, where when they step outside and fill their lungs, they can actually breathe. Actually breathe. Their bodies breathe life, not fear. Not contraction, not survival, not defense, not isolation, not invisibility. They actually breathe. And when they exhale, they infuse their inner world into a shared outer world where they're not rejected, where they are accepted to simply be themselves.
And seen for that.
What would that do for you? If in this lifetime that happened, how would that move you?
Well, it would move me very much. I mean, my first reaction, Catherine, is to say I'm not going to say anything after what you've just said, because I think it's a beautiful way of what you've done there. I feel is you've brought down the vision, you've brought it down from the stratosphere and the rarefied atmosphere of the conceptual into the morning, our first waking moments of the day and what that feels like, which is where we need to be. Yeah,
That's dying right now.
Yeah, how we feel. How we start the day, how we wake up, how we, whether we have breakfast, whether we have the time to have breakfast,
or
the money to have breakfast, or the ability to share it with somebody, and then, as you say, how it feels to step outside. Can we breathe comfortably, or are we consumed by anxiety? That whole waking up and moving into the day that you've described, that's how to see it, I think. That's how we bring it down to the to the ground. Beautiful. So I don't want to add anything to what you've just said.
I do want to just add, though, and thank you for that, Catherine, I want to relate it back to vision and the power of vision in unifying. So the ultimate is that the vision you evoke in yours is phenomenal, Jonathan. It's that. If, and I'm relating it to you, your incredible description, Catherine, so the two tie together as the ideal, because if in fact, I'll take an organization, just use the metaphor of an organization. If everybody who works in that organization in whatever role or capacity wakes up each morning knowing that they are contributing, whatever they do in the course of that day of work is contributing to realizing that vision. Everyone. Is recognized, everyone feels significant and valued, and it elevates, no matter what they're doing, however it may be determined to be menial or not, everything contributes to the realization of that vision every day.
Mm. You're answering the last part of the card here, Marianne. Let me just remind. Let's remind ourselves again. How would the scene on the stage change if the sparks ignited into one flame? Listening to you there, that's. I think that's the card, isn't it? That's what the card is asking.
Mm-hmm.
What does this look like if the sparks ignited into one flame?
Yeah.
Hope is central to this. We said that within a vision, language has its limits.
Yeah.
It can't do all the lifting on its own. The sense of hope must be in the words, that the language must give hope. But it can't do all of that. And so when we talk here, I'm going back to the card, how would the scene on the stage change if the sparks ignited into one flame? This is going beyond language now. Mm-hmm. And it begins with hope, I think. If a vision is going to change the world, it has to deliver. It's going to build something new on new ground. Huh? The vision is going to do that, but in its early seconds, the moment of the Big Bang, the Big Bang, it has to give hope, doesn't it? It has to give hope, and I think that's listening to you, Catherine, when you talked about people and how they rose and woke and rose into the new day and walked into the street and walked into the parks, going to school, going to their place of work, holding the hands of their children or walking alone, it felt to me that it's in the early seconds of the day and in the early seconds of a new vision, there has to be hope there.
Mm-hmm. There also, though, so I'm thinking of Obama running on hope.
Of course. How could we not?
Right, how could we not? And I don't want to pick on him, honestly, because But it's a good example, I believe, of, yes, hope, absolutely, initially. But hope for what? Mm. So in your metaphor, Catherine, what's significant is that you've described that how they know it's different, how they feel the difference, i.e. that they can breathe. So to have hope, first of all, for them to respond, they not only have, it has to instill hope in them, repair the disrepair, the despair, hope, elevate them, but they have to be able to see something that is tangible enough to signal to them or feel something other than hope. There has to be some manifestation, physical, psychological, something that is evidence that hope is valid.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Spot on. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably, because I've listened to you, Marianne, and read your cards, I'm probably now feeling myself a bit like water as it approaches the rapids. I can feel a gentle acceleration, and I'm being drawn towards amplification, amplifying.
You are. We're four cards away now.
That wasn't difficult, was it? That wasn't difficult. So yes. I think, but you also said yourself that there is no clear boundary between these different stages, and we've
right.
I certainly haven't felt it because I'm going through this process for the first time. It's more familiar to you.
In between the phases of illuminate,
exactly.
Amplify,
yeah.
Unify.
You said that right at the beginning, and that didn't mean anything to me then. It means something to me now. Yeah. That there's a natural mixing of the waters here and the different phases of this process that we're going through. But yes, we this is where we see the limits of language, the limits of the articulation of the vision, even if it's the best language, the most inspiring language, which contains hope, but also truth. So the vision is true. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Contains truth. But something in it, some emotional strength that compels people to join it, mm-hmm. to accept it and join it, and then hopefully live it and be the sparks. Yeah.
And how do you convey truth when truth has been distorted and is maybe unrecognizable?
Mm.
Think of it in terms of, you know, they wake up, they feel a new, either a renewed sense or an unfamiliar sense of hope for the first time.
Mm.
They don't even recognize that sense if they've never felt it before.
Sure.
And if they have felt it before and it's been quashed, and they're going to feel more vulnerable, right, when it resurfaces.
Mm.
So tentative. Can I trust this? Where are we going with this? And then you evoke words that for you are coming from truth. But for them, those words, some of those words even, may be loaded with mistruth. So how do you, and given that you use language to convey that vision of new, that shared home together, etc., how do you ensure that they don't go back into their, retreat back in into their homes, into their cracked walls?
Mm. It's very hard to answer this question without getting dragged into the imagery and the language of day-to-day politics.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know European politics. Yeah. Maybe that's where it's leading us.
Sure, sure. Because what you've described there rightly is the limits of hope. We've talked about the limits of language is also the limits of hope. That we talk about honeymoon periods and the first 100 days. Yeah. We have various ways of describing this period. And then people, quite rightly, whether they voted for this party or this person or did not, at some point, okay, now deliver, okay? And that's all good. But I understand your question here. I understand your question.
But you did say it yourself, Jonathan. You said that hope comes first.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the interval between it emerging and then, boom, validating it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that question about how would the scene on the stage change if the sparks ignited into one flame? Mm. It's critical you be able to see that yourself first.
Yeah.
And then be able to even give them a glimmer of it, because that is the manifestation of your vision, and visions are to whatever degree aspirational, they're not realized in a matter of seconds. You know that. So give them something.
Mm.
And in this moment, you're presented with the potential for a catalyst that can change you, that can open you up, that can allow floodgates to open and rush through you. I would go as far, Marianne, as to say that it's not even about, and this is for everyone who answers this card, it's not about, are you able to see how the scene on the stage changes? And that phrase, that even that sentence, let's say the last sentence in that prompt, mm-hmm. is such a clue. It's not, are you able to? It is, do you allow the floodgates of emotion to gush through you as you give yourself permission to see in your mind's eye and feel in your body what you know is true and what you know can be?
What it looks like.
Mm. Yeah.
What can be that is not yet.
Yes. Well, I think the answer to that is yes. There's... I remember saying at some point a leap of faith was,
yes.
was a good thing. I think we perhaps take a leap of faith with somebody else or for somebody else or towards somebody else. I think what you both are getting at here is something slightly different, which is this is about the need to have the faith within me, no? Isn't that some form of certainty within me?
Yeah.
I know, guys, going back to that. We're beyond, I think, I believe, it's I know.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. If you waver at all, even by omitting through assumption that you see it, they see it. But if you waver at all, if you are not steadfast in your knowingness about this, they'll disengage.
Mm.
They'll say, consciously or unconsciously, more of the same.
Mm.
Back I go.
Let me follow on from that, because you've triggered. While you were saying that, I've scribbled something down here, which is intolerance. And we've talked about rescuing words or reviving them. We've done that over the last couple of days where... On day one, my first impression was, ooh, that's a harsh...
Intolerant was a horrible word, right?
Harsh word, don't like that. But now, what you've just said, Mary, makes me think that there has to be an intolerance with the old. And I've also scribbled down a break with the past. Mm-hmm. A break with the past. So there's an intolerance where you are saying on at that moment of the Big Bang, the new world, standing on new ground, today, Today we break with the past. Yeah? And that's different from hope.
It is very different from hope.
Yeah.
Hope. Oh, the energy. Yeah. Even. Yeah. Hope brings them up, but they can plummet again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you are declaring past is past.
Yeah.
Now we move forward.
Yeah. Today we break with the past.
Right.
Today we break with the past and stand on new ground.
Oh my God.
You've got to be going to speech making.
Yeah, I realize that. Writing. That is the opening moment of or the final.
Yeah.
Of a speech. Wow.
I'm a big fan of one of my foibles. I don't think today is the most ordinary word, but there are so many paragraphs I've written where I just want to say the word today.
But there's actually research on that where we put a temporal.
Sure.
5 days ago, today.
Yeah, you today. Know, I'm just
certainly
to
when
that
we
today.
Do storytelling, that's important.
Yeah. You know, we break with the past.
It's another T-shirt.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The T-shirt machine is hot.
There's a new business
afternoon.
Line.
Yeah, we've got the T-shirt.
So say it again, please.
Today, we break with the past. Mm-hmm. We break with the past and stand on new ground. Mm?
We can all go home now.
Honestly, that's magnificent. Wow. Thank you.
I have something else here.
Oh, do you?
Very peculiar phrase. And let's dive into it together. And this came on the cusp of the certainty you hold within you, knowing that this vision is possible and can be. And the phrase is preemptive evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would say that you holding that knowingness, that assuredness, and spreading it with your words provides preemptive evidence. What does that mean? When we look at the definition of preemptive, it means something that is designed or having the power to deter or prevent an anticipated situation or occurrence. In this case, anticipated situation or occurrence, I would say, is the past. You being the evidence that has the power to deter or prevent that anticipation, to provoke the past to continue repeating.
Mm. Yeah, the way I understand... Mm-hmm. The image that springs into my mind as I listen to you is a courtroom because of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the confidence to go into the courtroom and be tested, whether you are the defense or the accuser, you need to have your evidence in advance.
Yes.
To give you the confidence that you're going to win.
You're standing on firm ground.
Yes, yes. It's not only that I have the arguments. I've marshaled my arguments. I've got all my arguments, but I hold the evidence so that I know this to be true. Going into the courtroom, not afterwards.
Yes.
Where you bring out the evidence later. You know, we sometimes bring out evidence late to prove something looking backwards. This is, if I've heard you, Catherine, this is about what have I got before I go into the courtroom?
Yes, exactly.
What do I know? Again, what do I know to be true? That is not just my arguments and beliefs, but actually the evidence. Yeah, that makes sense.
And in part, that is about you embracing yourself, allowing your voice to come through, not stifling yourself, not diluting your message, because it might not land in the most accepting of circumstances.
Mm.
That's okay. That's all. In support of freedom, they get to choose how they respond, how they react to you. That does not have to change that you are who you are.
Mm.
you have something to say and you choose to say it.
Yeah. And that takes us back to the truth of writing. When one is writing truthfully, that you're not, at the moment of writing, you're not thinking about
absolutely
the audience.
The reader of a book.
No, exactly.
So I have to bring us back home, so to speak.
Yep.
To the question and your answer, please.
So the question, what would it look like if the change were ignited? What would it look like if this change were ignited? We would be standing together on new ground, knowing that we had broken with the past.
Thank you. As Jonathan said, vision has the power to unify people. But right from the start, it has to give hope, and there has to be enough evidence that hope is warranted, or more misery ensues. How do you convey the truth when it may no longer be recognized? Jonathan trusts what he knows to be true, and he sees that he now has to allow his voice to come through. And he does just that with this powerful declaration. Today we break with the past and stand on new ground. We're in a different place now on the leader's journey. Stay tuned. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.